Are you ready? It's time for On the Double with the Double S Express. Great sports talk and big time guests with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd on the Double with the Double S Express.
Yeah, when I first saw that bikini top on her, she's popping right out of the South Georgia water. Thought, oh good Lord, she had them long tan legs. Couldn't help myself, so I walked up and said, well, baby, you a song.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally here with Sean Boyd. And Sean, O.co in Oakland was rocking. You were there once again for CBS Sports, and good things were happening.
Wow. We talked about this last week, Sean Wally, as far as the beginning of the NFL season. And for those teams that took an L, it just seemed like it was going to be a long and dismal season. But one of the things that we pointed out was, what a difference a week could make if you could come out with a win. And, of course, as you had mentioned, O.co, another week, the Raider Nation, the Raider faithful come out. They came out in droves early. And I can tell you, in the East Bay, where it's normally a nice balmy 80 degrees around this time of the year, the mercury rose just a little bit more. The field temperature, Sean Wally, 103 degrees. In O.co, and the Baltimore Ravens came out looking for, you know, that victory that they need to keep themselves, a pace in the AFC North. But, man, the Oakland Raiders did their thing and come up with the victory 37-33 in front of a packed house in O.co. And there was a lot of excitement in this game, Sean Wally.
Well, it was great for the Raiders to get quarterback Derek Carr back. His injured throwing hand, not that bad, and he was able to play and play pretty well.
You know, there were injuries abound the last week. Of course, Derek Carr being one of them with his hand. You had Charles Woodson that had the separated shoulder and weren't sure that if he was going to play. And I can tell you, there was, you know, yesterday's game, you know, those guys came out as far as the captains are concerned, two of the captains. They really came to play. You have to tip your cap to Alden Smith, who really came to play, leading the team in tackles yesterday. Did an awesome job in his indoctrination after, you know, his first week of football with the Oakland Raiders. Khalil Mack doing his thing. These guys were on the sidelines, and, you know, I was on the sidelines yesterday, Sean Wally, and watching these guys with cramps and coming up with injuries and you know, trying to keep their groins, you know, flexed and loose and everything. And they played like gladiators and did what they had to do. Hats off to Derek Carr, as you had mentioned, man. I mean, he had a phenomenal football game. And for those of you who have him in your fantasy league and sat him, oh, my goodness, 28 points sitting on the bench. That is a lot. Derek Carr did his thing along with Michael Crabtree and Amari Cooper. Two Oakland Raiders with over 100 yards receiving. Michael Crabtree getting his feet wet in the Raider Nation as well.
Sean, Michael Crabtree last week after the loss in week one talked about having to go back to the lab and get things worked out. And it seems like the team did exactly that.
You know, one of the things with, you know, that we talk about, you know, with the San Francisco 49ers, of course, you know, you, my goodness, with the 49ers, you don't know where to start. But because that team was so young and because those guys, because some of the leadership, such as Michael Crabtree, was young and had to be forced into the leadership role, I don't think they knew how to be leaders. And it became toxic in San Francisco so much to where when these guys were leaving, meaning Michael Crabtree, Alden Smith, it says, man, get rid of them. Their career is over. They've seen, you know, their best days are behind them. All Michael Crabtree needed was a change of pace. He needed a change in venue. In the locker room yesterday, to continue what you were saying the week prior, I did not hear one word from Michael Crabtree as far as being an I guy, meaning it's all about me. He was talking about the team. He, you know, he talked about, you know, again, what a difference a week makes. And he just said that, you know, when we play together, this is what we're going to get. And we didn't play together last week. And, you know, today was the day that we put things together. And hats off to him, man. Now, you come to an Oakland Raiders team that has more seasoned leadership when you're talking about Justin Tuck and you're talking about Charles Woodson. And, you know, these guys are your staple points. And so now You know, and you add in a Malcolm Smith coming from the Seattle Seahawks, who's a Super Bowl MVP. Now you have guys that have a little bit more importance, and Michael Crabtree is starting to step up in that leadership role with his receivers. And, you know, you see Amari Cooper, you see Andre Holmes, you see Seth Roberts, who gets the game-winning touchdown against the Ravens. And, you know, these guys are only going to get better, I believe.
So the Raiders sit at 1-1, feeling high in the East Bay. Up in the Pacific Northwest, the last game last night, Sunday Night Football, a matchup in Titletown, Green Bay, Wisconsin. The Seahawks battled the Packers, and for three quarters, nobody knew who was going to win.
You know, it was something to where, you know, Green Bay jumped out 10 to nothing, and you know, then the second half, Seattle made the proper adjustments. You started to see a little bit more Danger Russ come out in the second half. And, of course, the Seahawks take the lead at 17-13. But, my goodness, man, you know, these Green Bay Packers and the way that they played. You know, I believe in the fourth quarter there was a drive when I believe Starks was out of the game. Eddie Lacy was hurt. And the Green Bay Packers drive down the field on the daunted Seattle Seahawks defense with no running back the whole drive. And I'm thinking, okay, at some point the Seahawks have to respond to this and step up and pop these guys in the mouth. And it never happened. And, you know, I wouldn't say that it's doom and gloom because, you know, it's too early in the season. You can be 0-2 and you can make the postseason. You know, what I'm worried about for Seattle is with the 0-2 start, you know, if you make the postseason, there's a chance that you won't get home field. And if you don't get home field in Seattle, that means that it's going to be tough for you when you get to the postseason. So, again, you know, I wouldn't throw the big distress signal and saying that, you know, Seattle is done. But this is not the way that you start the season, Sean Woolley.
And Pete Carroll said basically that today, that nobody's happy with it, but it's not the end of the world. It's not time to jump off the cliff, and we're getting things right. And we were close. We were very close yesterday. And it, as a fan – and you hear from a lot of the 12s on social media that they're frustrated. They're frustrated with play calling, both offensively and defensively. They're not dialing up blitzes on the defensive side. And I know me personally watching that game last night, when the Seahawks came out in the third quarter, took that kickoff, went right down the field with that nice drive, Russell Wilson finally running all over the field, and they were in control, like you said, 17-13. But then what happened? It's like it stopped. It's like the wheels started falling off and they started to crawl again instead of doing what they did early third quarter.
You know, and that's just a testament to both teams. So in coaching, what we call that is we call it making adjustments. So the Seattle Seahawks went into the locker room down 13-3 and they made the proper adjustments. So what I mean by that is they fed Marshawn Lynch the ball up the middle, kind of fed him a little bit. They went into the locker room and said, hey, this is what the defense is doing. They're cheating. They're pinning their ears back. They're biting on the run. So what we need to do is we need to do a little bit of the play action to where Russell Wilson keeps the ball and he starts running the outside. That was working. But when that starts to work for one team, what makes the other team great is that they make the adjustment back. And that's what Green Bay did. They made the proper adjustments, and they said, okay, you know, Russell Wilson's going to do his thing. He's going to run. He's done his thing, so now we have to adjust back. And, you know, you have to do that at the right time, and I believe Green Bay did that by controlling the ball more so in the fourth quarter than they did the third.
And with Pete Carroll and the Seahawks saying that they're close and they're not far away from doing great things, you look at a couple plays. There was a first quarter pass to Jimmy Graham up the sideline that had he been able to catch it, he would have ran free. And it was just a hair overthrown. And the same thing happened second half, Doug Baldwin deep down the seam. And he was open in stride and the ball was like inches beyond his reach. And it's those plays that obviously Seattle was hitting late last season and the 2013 when they made their first big run. And right now is not the time you need to be firing on all cylinders. It's December, January, and beyond. So yes, it's not great. Seattle's 0-2, but there are some positives, even though they're 0-2, heading into their first home game on Sunday in Seattle against Chicago, who has their backup quarterback starting in Jimmy Clausen.
Well, yeah, if there was ever anything that cures what ails you, it would be the Chicago Bears, who are just playing atrocious this year. And of course, there would be some good home cooking for Seattle. But you had mentioned one thing, Sean Wally, you mentioned Jimmy Graham. And of course, this is the, you know, there are so many discontents that have been going on. We're talking about, you know, the Cam Chancellor thing. We're talking about, you know, Marshawn Lynch and his mom coming out and saying some crazy stuff. And you're starting to hear these, you know, these bad seeds that start to come out. People wanting more money. Seattle happened to come up with that. Jimmy Graham, think about this. Jimmy Graham was the big cog that we said the Seattle Seahawks needed. And when you talk to any analyst, they said, hey, Seattle got better. Seattle got better because they got Jimmy Graham. Well, I wonder what those analysts are saying now. And the reason being is Jimmy Graham caught one pass. And from the sounds of it, it sounds like he was not too excited in the locker room because he didn't talk to the media. The look on his face, is according to Michael Silver from NFL Network, said that he looked very upset and didn't want to say anything to the media in hopes of not saying anything bad to his team. But, man, the Seattle Seahawks gave up Max Unger and a first-round pick for Jimmy Graham, and you don't use him? I bet you this upcoming week against Chicago, they're going to try to feed him the ball. And if I'm the Chicago Bears, I'm going to key on that, and I'm going to say, hey, this is what they're probably going to do. And, you know, it just so happens that the Seattle Seahawks have a lot of weapons, but you don't want discontent from other areas on your team. Seattle has to fix that.
Well, what cures what ails you? Winning. Winning cures all. So getting that victory against the Bears, starting the home 8 games off right, is going to be key. But Pete Carroll touched on that this morning, and he said that, you know, they're very frustrated with not being able to get Jimmy Graham the ball in that game last night. I mean, if you look at it, week 1, he had 5 catches and a touchdown in St. Louis. Not bad. Would you like him to have 7-10 catches? Why not? But hey, you got him in the end zone. He caught 5 balls in his Seahawk debut. We'll take it. Yes, he didn't get the ball much yesterday, not even thrown to very much. Yet Pete Carroll also went further to say that Jimmy knows the plays that are called. He knows what's dialed up for him. Whether or not the ball gets to him, you know, that's not necessarily on Jimmy unless he's not getting open. But if Russell doesn't have the time to find him, or maybe Russell just doesn't pull the trigger, who knows?
You know, and that's the key is, you know, if this is going to be your guy, your go-to guy that changes everything in your offense, then you got to get him the ball. You'd mentioned Jimmy Graham had 5 catches the first game and a touchdown. Well, out of these 2 games, he has 6 catches, 62 yards and a touchdown. And so when that's your go-to guy, you know, you have to get him the ball. There's no way, shape, or form that he doesn't go without getting the football. And so, you know, that's something that they're going to have to look at. I don't know. Maybe, you know, maybe Green Bay did a great job on, you know, throwing cloud defenses and tough man-to-man against them. But, you know, this is Jimmy Graham. And again, you gave up a first-round pick and your center. And, you know, this is one of the things that we missed on as far as when we said Seattle got better. They got better in certain areas of their team, but that offensive line is where they got weak. And when you move a defensive lineman to become the center, then that becomes a glaring, glaring problem, especially when Russell Wilson doesn't have the time to throw in the backfield that he had in years past.
And, Sean, you mentioned Russell Wilson. I just want to point out his 2 touchdown throws, the one to newly acquired Fred Jackson out of the backfield, and also the Doug Baldwin catch in the center of the end zone. Those were absolute rifles. Those were amazing tight spirals that, especially the Fred Jackson pass, he fit in a window with 2 defenders closing in on him. And it would be nice to see more of that like they tried to do in the second half. And it's just a shame that the defense couldn't make a stop to help the team out and keep Green Bay from scoring, because ultimately that's what happened. Green Bay scored more points and they won the game.
Yeah, and you mentioned that touchdown to Fred Jackson. That was a, you know, a Hall of Fame style throw, if you will. You know, one of the things that I'd mentioned the week before is the amount of times that Russell Wilson threw the ball, you know, and when he threw that ball quite a bit, you know, he kept the team in the game. They scored 31 points. Now, when he was 19 of 30, 206 yards, 2 TDs and a touchdown, that defense has to help get the ball back so that the Seahawks can get more plays. They didn't get more plays, and that's the key. If you get more plays, you have more opportunities to score, and Green Bay happened to control the line of scrimmage on both sides of the game yesterday.
And the 12s are very frustrated with one Michael Bennett not being able in the first half to maintain his position and not jump offsides, because there were multiple times, I believe three times, it happened in the first half. And each time Aaron Rodgers knew he had a free play, went deep, and good things happened.
You know, and Michael Bennett is one of those guys that lobbied for money, and he got the money that he wanted. Now it's time to actually, you know, show it. And I know that we're nitpicking when it comes to, you know, a particular play, but that was a key point in the game. And, you know, when you want your best to actually step up and shine, and Michael Bennett, you know, dropped the ball, if you will, on that one. And it did. It cost Seattle, you know, momentum. And, you know, Green Bay took advantage of it.
And Sean, let's let our listeners know who we are awaiting on for the show tonight. Big time guests. We should have three. We are waiting on Aaron Garcia, former Wazoo and also CSU quarterback, who is the AFL's most prolific passer in the Arena Football League. So as soon as he calls in, he will be big time guest number one. Big time guest number two tonight, Mike Peterson, longtime analyst for SWX TV in Spokane and KHQ. And then our third guest this evening, Yogi Roth, analyst for the Pac-12 Network, college football analyst, and he also produces, hosts many shows, and he has his own film as well.
You know, of course, we've had Yogi Roth on the show before, and so I'm looking forward to having Yogi on and seeing what's going on, you know, as far as, you know, life in the walk. Of course, we talked about that before, and of course, you know, he's doing some awesome things with the Pac-12 Network now, and so it's always fun to have Mr. Roth on, of course, our other two guests. You know, we're going to get a chance to know. And Aaron Garcia, I mean, gosh, this is like royalty, if you will, to have him on. And so I'm looking forward to our guests, man.
And Sean, week one in the NFL, you know, you mentioned how great a victory is for teams that lost in the first week. But, man, look at the teams that won and did well in week one that did the exact opposite here in week two.
You know, yeah, there's a lot of that that's going on. Of course, as you're mentioning, you know, the St. Louis Rams did a phenomenal job in keeping pace with the Seattle Seahawks and wound up winning that game at home. Then they come out to Washington, the nation's capital, and they get thumped, you know, by the Washington Redskins 24-10. And so, you know, those teams that did great, you know, in week one wound up not doing so great in week two, and vice versa, as we had talked about the Raiders. Cleveland did an awesome job. What do you think of that, Sean? Well, I mean, is Johnny Football for real, or is that just something that, you know, just magically happened this one game?
That was the best game of Johnny Manziel's professional life in Cleveland. He got the big win, and, you know, what's funny is Cleveland hasn't come out, the head coach and the team, and said who's going to start next week. How do you not start Johnny when he comes out, plays gangbusters, gets his first victory, does almost nothing wrong, and you're not going to commit to him?
You know, that's the old adage that you can't lose your position by having an injury. Well, I mean, Josh McCown, he's a seasoned veteran. You know, he's okay. You know, I don't know, but I'm with you. I think that, you know, Johnny Manziel did an awesome job. I mean, the dog pound was electrified at everything that he was doing. And, I mean, they put 28 points on the board, and they beat what we thought was going to be a good Tennessee Titans team under Marcus Mariota in his rookie year, having a phenomenal game last week. Not so much this week. But, you know, again, this is the early part of the season. Here's the great things about teams like Seattle and Philadelphia, the teams that are starting out slow out of the blocks, are the teams that are winning or that are 500 right now are teams that don't have a winning past. And so with that said, I mean, yeah, you know, things look good the first two games for some teams, but it can easily change when you have, you know, a consistent franchise that knows how to win.
And Sean, our friends at ESPN, and you and I know them as the Extra Slow Haying Network, they put out a stat today that out of all of the 0-2 teams in the NFL, course, Seattle being one of them, that Seattle and Philadelphia have the best chance of making the playoffs, and they list them at over 50%.
You know, and that's something that our good friends at ESPN will do. I think that the reason why they do that is out of respect to the franchises. You know, Seattle has earned that respect over the recent years to not throw in the towel this early. So that's to be expected, not just from ESPN, from all major network contingencies, because we're all shocked right now. We're all shocked at the fact that, you know, these teams are starting out the way they are. You talk about a Chip Kelly offense, and you talk about all the things that, you know, come from Chip Kelly, you know, having the strong pedigree from the University of Oregon and, you know, and having the, you know, the success that he's had. But it's not really, you know, carrying over to the NFL. And so, you know, you have to wonder, you know, you have Sam Bradford as your quarterback, and he's looking, you know, he looks good one week, and then he looks, you know, the next. You have, you know, DeMarco Murray, that this was supposed to be a great game for him. I mean, did you hear the stats with him? I believe it was something outlandish. I think he had like 10 carries for 2 yards. I mean, that can't happen when you're
his 2 week total, yeah, Sean, 31 yards in 2 games.
Yeah, this can't happen if you're Chip Kelly and you're known for having these high powered offenses. And so that is a great deal of concern that should be coming out of Philadelphia.
Sean, the so-called, and I want to say so-called, America's team, they are in big time trouble. First, week one, they lose their awesome receiver, Dez Bryant, to a broken foot. And then yesterday in Philadelphia, Tony Romo gets crunched, and his clavicle collarbone is now broken, and he will miss roughly 8 weeks, which might be good news for the Seahawks, who play him in week 8, November 1st.
You know, so when you say that Dez Bryant gets hurt in week 1, but yet the Dallas Cowboys wind up winning, and then you say that Tony Romo gets injured during the game in week 2, but yet the Dallas Cowboys still find a way to win, you have to get out to a good start in the NFL. And I have to tip my cap to the Dallas Cowboys, because there is no way in the world that if you said that those two would be injured, that they should be 2-0. I would say 0-2. Not only are they 2-0, they're 1-0 in their division. And Brandon Weeden comes in to relieve Tony Romo, goes 7 of 7 for 73 yards and a touchdown, and they stand pat in the NFC East. Man, I don't know what to say. You know, I mean, these guys are rocking and rolling. That's all I can say is that, you know, they're doing their thing. I'm sorry, they're 2-0 in their division, and they're 2-0 on the season. And one of those games that they won was away. And what do you attest that to, Sean?
Jason Garrett having his team ready to play the first 2 weeks of the season. And also, you have to put some of it on their opponents not being prepared and not being ready to play. Because look at the Giants. They faced the Giants week 1, Sunday Night Football. The Giants were up by 10 and lost. The Giants were up by 10 or more in week 2 yesterday and lost. So the Giants have a few issues with finishing and maintaining a lead. Now, you look at Philadelphia, they've been nothing but atrocious the first 2 games, so it's not a huge surprise. And Brandon Weeden, apparently, you know, they're going forward with Brandon Weeden for half of their season. And Tony Romo said as much. Brandon's ready to go, he's prepared, and he'll lead us on. So Brandon Weeden has done nothing but be a serviceable quarterback. Whenever he's been able to start, he was good in college, and now he's getting a chance with the Dallas Cowboys, and we'll see. It's going to make or break their season. If he can maintain, you know, go 500 or maybe win 2 more games and they lose, then they'll be all right, waiting for Romo to return. But if not, and the wheels fall off, go 0-2, 0-3 with Weeden at the helm, who knows if they're going to look elsewhere and try and find a savior.
Yeah, but right now, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And, I mean, it's not broken in Dallas. And you know, I don't know if you can credit that to a beleaguered NFC East, you know, because you have Philadelphia, Dallas, the Giants, and the Redskins. And, man, when you look at it, Dallas looks like, you know, the better team. And, again, I'd mentioned this before with Sam Bradford. There's no way in the world that this should happen, you know, that Sam Bradford comes out and, you know, he throws 23 of 37, has two picks. And, you know, this is supposed to be your guy. This is your guy. This is who Chip Kelly is rolling with. And they just couldn't get things going. You know, and again, DeMarco Murray, 13 carries, 2 yards. That's unacceptable. And you had Ryan Matthews. You have Darren Sproles. These guys have been strong players in their respective teams prior to coming to Philadelphia. And now you can't get the yardage that you need to get or to establish 17 total yards. That's what you have. I mean, my goodness, that's a recipe for disaster. And so Philadelphia needs to worry about where their season is going, you know, after these first two games.
Well, Sean, I'm guessing Seattle's offensive line must be all right if they can get a lot more than 17 yards rushing.
Man, 17 yards. You know, there's a couple of players that can lean forward and get 17 yards, you know, and they couldn't do that the whole game. Just amazing. Amazing to me that Philadelphia decides that they don't want to play. So we're going to take a quick break, and when we return, we're going to have one of our first guests on, and that is none other than analyst Mike Peterson. So keep it locked in. You're listening to the best sports talk on the Double with the Double S Express.
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
I'm Chris Walls, and I'm a truck driver from Missouri. For 13 hours a night, I sit in my truck and I drive. Out of boredom, I'll stop and eat. If I'm not doing fast food, I guarantee there's a bag of chips open on my dashboard. Along with that, I'm good for about 4 liters of soda a night. That was all until Andro 400. I started out 4 months ago weighing 341 pounds. And since taking Andro 400, I have dropped 45 pounds. I'm sleeping better. There's no cravings. There's no excessive thirst. My knee pain went away. I've had some lower back issues, and I've noticed that that went away. And I can only contribute that to Andro 400. One thing that Andro 400 said on the radio ad says it attacks belly fat. Well, let me tell you, it did. I've lost 6 inches. This product really does work.
So, guys, if you'd like to experience similar results, then get Andro 400, the safe, natural, and inexpensive way to boost your testosterone. Go to Andro400.com. Andro400.com.
Who likes the inconvenience of car repairs? Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services, platinum service without the platinum price.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally and Sean Boyd.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally with Sean Boyd, and let's go out to the holysmokenuts.com phone lines and welcome in Mike Peterson, analyst for all things sports in Spokane on KHQ and SWX TV. Mike, thanks for your time tonight.
Oh, absolutely. A pleasure being on. Thank you, gentlemen.
Yeah, Mike, thanks for taking the time out, man. Of course, during the break, we talked about how busy you are. And, of course, you had a game this past weekend that you were the analyst for, Central Washington University in Ellensburg. Man, how was that game?
It was an amazing home opener for the Central Washington University Wildcats because they came in no wins, two losses, and not having a very good showing. And they blew the doors off Western Oregon. They brought their A-plus game in that first half, that's for sure.
And, of course, you know, you're talking about Central Washington against Western Oregon. This is somewhat of a rival, and they're playing early in the season here. I mean, you know, Ellensburg, that's the team that has been successful in years past, of course. You know, John Kitna coming out of Central Washington University. You know, is this a game that the Wildcats can turn it around?
If they play like this, they went from being very nervous after two games to, hey, we can play with a lot of teams out there. They, when you're talking 40 unanswered points in the first half, they were down 6-0, blocked a PAT, and then it was just off to the races. When you're doing that kind of production, you should be able to put points up against anyone.
Now, Mike, what was the expectation? Was Western Oregon supposed to be able to compete? Because, and with Central coming in 0-2 and not playing well, it's like things were night and day for the Wildcats.
Well, it was an intriguing matchup. And as you mentioned, this game has evolved into the rivalry game. Western Washington University used to have football, and so that was the big in-state rivalry. And now with the Western Washington University no longer playing football, that has just shifted to this rivalry game. And what's amazing is since, if my facts are right, I think since either 2005 or 2007, Western Oregon has yet to beat Central Washington in Ellensburg. And last 3 years, they played each other twice. Home team has always come out ahead. So you wonder how big that home field advantage is, too.
And Mike, you've been an analyst for about 9 years in the Spokane, Eastern Washington, Northern Idaho, even into Montana areas on SWX and KHQ. What are your favorite sports to cover, and what are your fondest memories in the last few years?
Oh, I tell you, it's abundant. And my niche is evolved to the sports I played growing up. I was a football, basketball, baseball player in high school, multi-sport guy. And those are the college games that I cover when I played some college ball, too. And also AFL football. I'm very intrigued by the indoor games. So if I look at some of the big highlights, I tell you, covering the Spokane Shock national TV in their Arena Cup championship, that's right. Anytime you're on a national stage and national broadcast, that's a pretty fun thing to cover.
Mike Peterson.
Another highlight have been working with Sam Adams, the anchor up here for KHQ TV, and we've been covering the NAI World Series and fortunate enough to cover that championship game the last 3 years as well.
Mike Peterson joining us here on the Double with the Double S Express. And of course, you'd mentioned college football, basketball, baseball, and doing things with the Shock of the AFL. There's one thing I want to bring up because, you know, you're quite a young man, but yet, you know, I look at some of the things that you've done, 29 years as an NCAA Division I men's basketball referee. That's some awesome stuff, man.
Yeah, a lot of coaches in your ear over the years as well. But, I'm a technology. People go, hey, what do you do? And I go, it's real simple. I'm technology by day, and nights and weekends I'm a jock. I always have been. It's in my blood. And it does not matter whether I'm playing, spectating, broadcasting, officiating. I just like to absorb myself into the game because I am a certified sports junkie. And that was just another way to immerse myself into the game while my playing career was over.
And now, of course, one of the things that I want to mention as well, because you're so vast, you have a vast knowledge of all sports, you got a chance to play at Wazoo. Of course, the Cougars getting the W. Of course, this was, I would probably call it Jason Gesser weekend. Of course, the Wyoming comes in to play the Washington State Cougars, and the Cougars get the win, man. How exciting are you about that?
After that disappointing start, it's I'm happy. I'm a little bit guarded because when you have the performance you did against Portland State, you talk about being nervous. Oh boy, Cook Nation got very nervous after that one. But they've 2 weeks later, they've righted the ship. They're 2-1, which is where a lot of folks thought they'd be. That's where I thought they'd be. But I figured the two games they'd win would be the home ones, and I thought Rutgers would be a tough battle, which it was. So they're in contention, and they've got the bye. We'll see what they do with the bye. Historically, they've not done well coming off of a bye, but maybe they can get that jinx off their back and be ready to go down and play Cal and get a W. But it was just, again, a relief number one, encouragement number two to see them get another W.
Has the Mike Leach era in Pullman gone as you thought it would? And does he have the program going in the right direction?
This year, we shall see, and it's too early. But if you look at it, you figured, I'm of the mindset with any coach, in 3 years, you're going to start seeing results. By year four, your system's pretty well in, and anyone who's got 5 years under their belt, that's all your recruits, it's your guys, and you're either there or you're not. Year four being a big one. Year two, of course, being a surprise when they went to the bowl game, but that clock management at the end against Colorado State, that got a lot of people upset. And then last year was just so ahead of schedule on that one. And then last year in year three, a year that the Cougs just went backwards, and then the opening loss to Portland State, everyone was going, oh my goodness, we're going backwards again. And there was a lot of panic in Cougarville, but we're going to see. I don't think the fan base can stomach another 3-9, 4-8 season. I think expectations are pretty high, and a lot of folks are saying, hey, it's year four, you're Mike Leach, we've invested in facilities, we've invested in the staff, we expect results, and for a lot of people, results means get to 6 wins and get in a bowl game.
Yeah, that should be the minimum goal, is to get to any bowl game, and that would be progress. Now, Mike, what do you remember your fondest memories from your playing days in the early 80s at Washington State University?
Well, it's Apple Cup and a bowl game. So in 81, 82, I was junior and senior year. I was a JC transfer. So anyway, I had the 2 years to play. So 1981 Apple Cup, were at University of Washington, we're both ranked, and the winner of the Apple Cup goes to the Rose Bowl. And they got us, so we went to the Holiday Bowl and played BYU, Jim McMahon, and BYU, and they got us in a shootout down there in the Holiday Bowl. But went out on a high note. The next year, we did not have a very good season. Expectations high, injury bug, all that, not going to make excuses, but we came in to the Apple Cup. First time playing in Pullman in something like 30 years or so. And all University of Washington had to do, beat us. They were ranked number one in the country about half the season. They came in ranked fifth in the AP poll, and we pulled the upset and knocked them out of the Rose Bowl. So redemption, my final collegiate game. That was, I mean, you can't go out any better than that. I guess other than win national championship, which we weren't in contention for that my senior year. But, yeah, that was very, very sweet.
Now, go figure, a Coug having his greatest memory of beating a Husky. Right, man.
go figure.
That's good stuff.
Oh, and it was bedlam. Goalposts were down, both end zones. Goalposts end up in the Palouse River. And Coug fan, which I follow that, that goes down as the most memorable Apple Cup game ever. So it was just really exciting to be a part of that and knock them out of the Rose Bowl. And it was a major upset because, like I said, they were ranked number one in the country half the season. They were really, really good.
Yeah, man. That sounds, you know, I remember those fights that, you know, the Huskies and the Cougars would have, and it just seemed like, you know, hey, one thing was supposed to happen. Maybe the Huskies were supposed to win and the Cougars wind up upsetting, or vice versa. And, you know, that's what makes the Apple Cup so special. That's what makes great rivalries. And you know, with all the rivalries around the country, Washington State University and University of Washington is right up there in the top 10, I believe.
It is heated. We have a lot of fun with it. a lot of tradition. And there's been some great teams that have come out of that as well. So that's why there's such strong tradition, that Apple Cup.
Now, Mike, with that being said, you know, talking about the NCAA, you also do some things with KHQ SWX as far as the high school is concerned. Who are some of the great kids that are who are standing out in Eastern Washington over there?
Well, this year I've a little bit of a void because I've not done any high school games yet this year. I've only done a few high school games in the past, so I just don't really have good insight for you. So rather than guess at where things are, I'm going to have to pass on that one. But I am here, and I may be used for a few games. It's always fun. Just keep your finger on the local pulse of high school athletes.
Now, Mike, how did you make your way into TV analyst duties?
By accident is the short answer. It was not anything I ever intended to do. It goes back 10 years ago when Spokane Shock were in their first year. And so one of my teammates, still good friend to this day, Mark Rippon, and I was a receiver, so quarterback-receiver tandem, and we hung around a lot together. And we just thought it was really cool that arena football was coming to Spokane. So we got involved with the front office just trying to help out. No motivation whatsoever other than, hey, this is cool. What can we do to help you launch and make this thing profitable? And the next thing you know, they land a TV contract. They look at Rip and I and go, well, we got a TV contract. You guys want to be the commentators? So I looked at Mark and I go, well, I'll do it if you do it. Mark looked at me. He goes, well, I'll do it if you do it. And we kind of dared each other into it. And I mean, that literally is the story on how we got in there. Now, they ended up using Mike Boyle that first year for play-by-play, which was smart. Mark was the analyst, and then I broke in on the sideline as doing the sideline reporting. And again, that was SWX KHQ. And in year two, started doing some analyst work when Rip couldn't be there, and by year three, full-time analyst, and been doing it ever since.
What have you learned since that first year, that first time you were an analyst on TV, to everything you've learned in the last 9 years that you would pass on to people like Sean, myself, anybody else that wants to get into broadcasting?
Oh, man, that's a great question. Well, the first thing I want to share with you is just like playing, it doesn't matter. You remember that your first high school game or even your first middle school game, little league game, you get the jitters, the butterflies, and I tell you, you think you're prepared, and the first time that red light went on, lights, camera, action, I think I was perspiring out of every pore in my entire body. So as much as you think you're prepared for it, it's fun because you still get the adrenaline and you still get the jitters. So point number one is just really prepare yourself, because when the lights are on, it's a different realm. Point number two is genuinely enjoy it. I'm of the mindset, chase your passion, chase your dreams, and if it's something you genuinely enjoy, it's not work. It is just living out your passion. Whether I'm broadcasting or not, I'm going to follow sports. So if I get the opportunity to cover it from a media perspective, all the better. Like I said, it doesn't matter what the role is, refereeing, a fan, a broadcaster. My playing days are done, so let's get that off the table. I just like to experience sports. Preparation,
Mike,
is passion.
It was great getting to meet you at Central Washington University. Great getting to work with you. Thank you for your time, your insight tonight. And, hey, best of luck. Your playing days are not done. You're heading to the World's Softball Championship in Las Vegas. Best of luck to you.
Thank you. 100-degree temps. I better drink a lot of water.
Well, good luck to you.
All right. Hey, thanks, guys. Great talking to you.
There goes Mike Peterson up in the Spokane area doing awesome things all over the sports realm, all throughout Eastern Washington, and now Las Vegas for softball.
Yeah, you know, he's playing in the world champion. What did you say? The world champion softball tournament?
Well, they call it the Worlds, so it's okay. For the how should we put this politely? 50 and over. So however you want to word that politely, Sean, go for it.
Well, last we checked, I mean, he's playing out there in the outfield, so he's still got some gas left, so that's some awesome stuff. So I look forward to hearing some some great things from him and possibly winning the championship this weekend. We're going to take another break. And when we return, we're going to have our next guest on, and that is none other than Yogi Roth from the Pac-12 Network. Keep it locked in. You're listening to the best sports talk on the Double with the Double S Express.
Are you tired of the gym scene in Tri-Cities, Washington? Tired of seeing all those ridiculous gym selfies? If you are ready to work on a better you, Power Alley Performance is the place you can reach your goals. From one-on-one personal training to group fitness sessions, the trainers at Power Alley Performance will help motivate you every step of the way. Trainers DJ and Lamont have a wealth of knowledge and experience that they are ready to share with you. Call Power Alley today at 509-554-4785 and tell them the Double S Express sent you for a complimentary half-hour session. Visit PowerAlleyPerformance.com.
Guys, are you having trouble getting to sleep? Would you like to know the secret to getting a great night's sleep every night? Bruce Feeney discovered this secret, a new, all-natural sleep aid for men. Listen to what he says about it.
Hey, you know, I tried a product recently called Love to Sleep. It was a great product. Helped me a lot. Took 3 or 4 days for it to start working in my system, and I fell asleep very quickly and got up rested. And if I got up during the middle of the night, I ended up coming back to bed and fell right back to sleep. I would recommend it to all my friends.
If you, too, would love to get a good night's sleep every night and wake up feeling great in the morning, try Love to Sleep, the new sleep aid for men. Your satisfaction is 100% guaranteed. And because Love to Sleep is all natural, it's completely safe, with no side effects or risk of dependency. Go to lovetosleep.com. That's lovetosleep.com.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally and Sean Boyd. Standing in the Hall of Fame. And the world's gonna know your name.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally with Sean Boyd. And let's go right back out to the holysmokenuts.com phone lines and welcome in big time guest number 2 tonight. That is Yogi Roth of the Pac-12 Networks. Yogi, what's going on, buddy?
Not too much, man. Thanks for having me on.
Man, you know, again, another guest here on the Double that takes his time out from his busy schedule. Man, you're doing some great things with the Pac-12 Network. Of course, you're on the Pac-12 show. I believe it's one of the football preview shows. Is that correct?
Yeah, you know what? I'm on a bunch of this stuff for them. Primarily, I'm calling games in the fall, and then I'll do studio work during the season as well as during the week.
And, of course, you did some work with, you know, I turned on the television and, you know, got a chance to see a little bit of the University of Washington. And there I hear your voice, man, alongside one of the all-time greats in play-by-play and Kevin Calabro. Man, what's it like working with Big KC?
You know, it's a gift, man, to be honest. You know, I got to make sure I bring my A game every week. I mean, his voice is, we call him smooth jazz because he's just so smooth every time he's on the air. And, you know, every time, like, I'll catch myself sometimes listening to him or even Lewis Johnson, who does our sideline, and just saying, wow, these guys are such pros, you know. And they'll tell you, I wear them out with questions about life, career, on the road, and it's a blast because Kevin, first and foremost, he's got a spirit that's, I think, you know, very similar to mine. It's really young at heart. He loves having fun, loves celebrating the kids, and I think our whole team kind of embodies that. We've had a blast, man. We've been interacting with fans and interacting on air, and to be around one of the greats is it's a gift.
Yogi, what do you try to portray and give the viewers and tell them on a Pac-12 Network broadcast when you're an analyst for football?
You know, that's a great question. When I first started, you know, I can't believe it's been 7 years I've been calling games. When I first started, I was just, you know, I was trying to figure it out, you know, and I'm trying to be Herbstreit, you know, just trying to find my way. And as I got going, I came across a guy named Roy Hamilton at Fox, and he trained me. And we would meet early in the mornings every single week. And where I netted out at the end is that, and this is what I remind myself before every broadcast, I say, Yogi, your job is to celebrate the game and the student athletes and coach the viewer. That's it. And that's what I try to do. You know, I hope if you tune in, you know, I'm celebrating the amazing stories of student athletes because there's so many on both teams. And we never tell enough every week. There's never enough time. And hopefully I'm teaching you what cover two is, you know, in a way that's digestible, or why the left tackle was, you know, sifting up to the outside linebacker or whatever it may be, and explaining it in language and at a pace that's really understandable. It's kind of hanging out with me and getting inspired by the stories that we get to watch.
After 3 weeks, what are your thoughts on how the Pac-12 is shaping out?
Well, it's all over the place, you know, to be really honest. You know, I don't think anybody, including myself, expected Stanford to be as porous as they were the first 2 weeks. But I did expect them to play well last week, and I picked them to win the North. And I think the world obviously picked USC. I think SC's a year away. I really do. I think they're at the skill positions as gifted as anybody in the country, but just have to develop up front on offense and defense, and specifically defense. It doesn't get a lot of love, but it's really what wins the games. So you got to control a lot of scrimmage. So I think the Stanford SC thing has been interesting. Obviously, Josh Rosen, really freshman quarterbacks in this conference, three true freshmen starting, Seth Collins at Oregon State, Josh Rosen at UCLA, and then, of course, Jake Browning, who I got to see last weekend at Washington. So I think that's a unique storyline. And then we'll see what happens with Arizona State. You know, I don't think anybody knows anything about them. You know, I picked them to win the whole conference, and they've been the most disappointing teams thus far throughout this season, in my opinion. Arguably, you know, other than Auburn, one of the more disappointing teams in the country. So I'm excited to see how they come out against SC this weekend. A night game in Tempe is going to be going off.
Yogi Roth joining us here on the double. And, of course, you're mentioning the parity in the Pac-10. You don't know what you're going to get week from week. Of course, Stanford upsetting USC. And, you know, Arizona State, it's just, you know, we're yet to see. But what about Arizona? I mean, you know, these guys, they play Northern Arizona, and I know that Northern Arizona is this big sky team that's 7,000 feet up in the, you know, up the air. That's where their campus lies. But 77 points put on Northern Arizona. I mean, you know, are we to think that Arizona is one of the teams in the Pac-12 that could do some damage?
Well, we should. You know, we don't give them any love. I mean, they won the South last year, right? And they get zero respect in that regard. They had the Coach of the Year last year. They get zero respect. They were one of the few teams that returned a starting quarterback and get zero respect. And I think they're going to continue to get zero respect because they don't have a lot of guys that you look at them and say, they're first-round draft pick. You look at UCLA. You look at USC. You look at Stanford. You look at Oregon. You look at Cal. You say those things. But what Arizona does is they take on the hard-edge personality of their head coach. And if you've ever been to practice, and you haven't, I recommend it. He coaches them with such an intensity, with such a purpose, that they just develop this, you know, this way about them. You know, they really have done a nice job of recruiting and developing what they call OKG, you know, our kind of guys. And they develop that hard edge. They have that chip on their shoulder. You know, Rich Rod made sure they knew that they were picked, what was it, fourth or fifth in the South this year. You know, and he let them know about it. So I don't think they're 77 points better than people in this conference by any stretch of the imagination, but they're a team that will scare people week in and week out because of the energy and effort they play with. And I can't wait to see them against UCLA, because if there's one thing I know about being in Tucson, is that place rocks. And College game days coming to town, the student sections are as good as anybody in the country. I mean, you just watch them in basketball, you see what they do. They'll come out and they'll be going off the hook there. So I'm excited to see a true freshman, Josh Rosen, in that environment. And there's rumors that Scooby Wright might return. So kind of excited to see how that plays out.
Yeah, to have a high-powered linebacker like Scooby Wright, yeah, you definitely – he's an energy guy. He's one of those guys that flies around the ball, and he brings some excitement, no doubt about it.
Yeah, he's a special player. You know, my favorite story about Scooby is that he comes back from his, you know, you do this award show tour. Like, you don't just go to the awards in December. They got all these dinners in, like, February and January. And there's all this stuff going on. You know, everybody celebrates you. And, you know, one of the SID at the time, Molly O'Mara, said he got off the plane around, you know, 12:01. They got back to Tucson. And he was in the gym at 5:30 the next morning. And he would do that all the time. And I think that for young student athletes, you know, especially when we see Scooby, you think best player in the country, but you don't necessarily look at his arm where he got a tattoo that says two-star Scoob. you know, where, Twitter handle, Two Star Scoop, his tattoo is David and Goliath. And it's just a reminder to him that he's got to always be chasing. And I think that's the way he plays. He plays hungry, and that's the way he prepares. And to me, it's a beautiful example of what it means to be a student athlete.
Yeah, and you know, and one of the things about Scooby, as you mentioned, his height does not allow him to, you know, to be intimidating. But when this guy goes around and his work ethic, I mean, he's right up there with a J.J. Watt. I mean, he's the first guy on the field, the last person to leave, and you got to give it to somebody like that because it shows. It shows on the football field.
Yeah, he's intimidating. To me, he might not be intimidating coming off the bus, but he's intimidating when he puts that eye black on. And he stares at you from the other side of the ball. You know,
right.
To me, he's a dude. And this is a team people forget. You know, 3 years ago, they had, I believe it was 24 defensive scholarship players, which is about half as many as you hope to have on the roster. You know, so for what Rich Rod did in such a short period of time, it's really been about attitude. You know, and I'm around high school kids. You guys are around them a lot. And young college athletes. So much of them is about being inspired. You can get them to play better. You can get them to play better than they actually are. You know, we did that when I was at SC. Everybody talks, they thought we'd all these first-round draft picks when I was coaching. And, you know, one of my favorite stories is Dallas Sartz. He was a three-time captain at safety for USC back in the day. And I think he got drafted in the third or fourth round and didn't even make it through training camp. You know, so I think nothing to do with his necessarily ability, but I think you can get inspired, you know, to play better than you actually are. You know, Pete did it with guys at SC. Rich Rod's doing it in Arizona, and we're seeing it happen in a lot of different places.
Yogi Roth joining us here on the double. And Yogi, you mentioned your time at USC and under head coach Pete Carroll at the time and a good friend of yours. What do you think he is telling his players in Seattle, and why should the Seahawk faithful not jump off the cliff right now as Seattle is 0-2?
Well, I think, number one, Pete's been there. You know, I mean, he's just telling them we got to just keep working. You know, to him, and you know, he really does it. You know, it's about just competing in the next moment, and the next moment, and the next moment, and the next moment, and stringing a bunch of great moments together. And sometimes it happens for you, and sometimes it doesn't. You know, and in the NFL, any game, I mean, you can look at the game right now, 10-0, but it's going to come down in the last 2 minutes. You know, it just always does because everybody plays at such a high level for the most part. So, and when you play the Hawks, you know, you're gonna play your best for the most part. And they've seen that through two games. So Pete's not going to sweat it. You know, he's been there. He's a vet. He's telling his guys, look, just come back and we got to compete and clean a few things up. And they know they do. So I don't think there's any cause for crazy concern right now.
Now, Yogi, it's been an amazing year for you. In the last year, you've been working on and got a documentary out there, Life in a Walk, lifeinawalk.com for all the information. And it was you and your father hiking the Camino in Europe, and the launch went, I would guess, better than you expected.
Yeah, man, it's been really beautiful. You know, we came up with this idea 2 years ago, went for the walk. I came back a year ago, started to make the film. And to release it a couple weeks ago with our partner, Gather Films, has been epic. Because, you know, mostly when you release a movie, you know, it could be Straight Outta Compton, or it could be whatever movie you want to go see in a theater. Usually it's there for, you know, 2 weeks maybe. And especially with documentaries, you're lucky to get one full weekend. So what we wanted to do is spread it out so it could go all around the country for months. So our partner allows us to do that. So we've been able to show this film, it's in over 40 cities right now. And it's going to be that way all the way through December. So and maybe even more. And I'm really proud of it. It's going to hit your region. It's going to be in Yakima, Washington. It's going to be in Seattle, Washington. I'm going to go to Berkeley next weekend. It's in L.A. next week. And it's in Tulsa next week. I mean, it's kind of all over. So for us, that's very cool. But the best part is that it's really created this conversation, man, about going and spending time with the people you care about. And I don't know if 100% of the people enjoy our film, but I do know that 100% of the people that have seen it are inspired by our film, and I'm really proud of that.
Yogi Roth joining us here on the double. And, of course, Yogi, you had mentioned being in the state of Washington, in Yakima, Washington, October the 20th. And, of course, there are two listeners that are avid listeners here on the double, Tawny Brown and Stacy Kellogg. You had mentioned a little bit as far as, you know, some of the things that you know, how things evolved in that neck of the woods because of Tawny Brown.
Yeah, you know, she's incredible. It was 3 or 4 years ago. I'm calling the Oregon Ducks spring football game on the Pac-12 Network, and I'm doing the sideline for that game. And this woman comes up and says, "Hey, can you mind taking a picture for me?" Sure, no problem. It was her and her daughter with Mark Helfrich. And I take the picture, don't think anything of it, and a couple years later, I'm making this film, and I get a message on social media. "Hey, what's up? I'm really inspired by the Camino de Santiago. Tell me about it." I tell her about it. I create the movie. We become friends. And next thing I know, she literally goes on this walk. It was her and her mom and her sister and her friend. And they all go, and they're wearing Life at a Walk swag the whole time. But more importantly, they're connecting with each other. And that's kind of what the Camino does. When they came back, Tawny said, "Well, we have to have this movie in Yakima." And if you follow her on Facebook or on social media, you realize that community has really embraced that walk and her story. So I said, "Sure, let's go. Get into your city, and I'll come up, whatever we got to do." So we picked a date, and I'll be there on October 20th, and it's going to happen in that city. And I couldn't be more stoked to go up there. I've never been to Yakima, I got to be honest. I hear they call it Yakka Vegas or something like that. So I'm excited to get up there and see everybody. And we sold out in moments. So, you know, I think if people want to go, they can still. There might be some tickets still at the box office that evening is what I'm told. So I hope people can still come. And if not, then let's do it in Seattle. We're in Seattle on November 2nd, which should be a really fun night as well. It's the Seahawks bye week, so there should be some fun news going on there. So I'll be excited to get back up there. But, yeah, man, it was a great story about how social media can inspire people. And I think our film did that for them and inspired them to go for a walk. And I think it's going to do it for some other people. And that's kind of the most enjoyable element to me.
You know, I like to say it. Actually, I don't like to say it. It's an adage that iron sharpens iron. And when I first got the chance to meet and talk with you at the Pac-12 championships, I believe it was a couple of years ago, the Oregon Ducks were going on to win that Pac-12 championship. And that's where I met you, and you introduced me to Tawny and Stacy. And I mean, mm-hmm. man, you guys are awesome, man. I mean, it's just amazing. You know, the heart that you have and to just step out there and do something great. And I know that it's rubbing off on a lot of people. And I appreciate the things that you do.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah, that was a fun night. You know, we had all these great perks when we ran our campaign. And our crowdfunding campaign was done by Indiegogo. And we tried to create awareness. And all of a sudden, we're in Men's Health. We're in USA Today. We're getting a lot of pub. We said, all right, let's create events for perks. So if you donate $50, what do you get? Well, we made sure that I kind of used every favor I had and created events for two people. So come to the Pac-12 championship game, go to a Seahawks game, sit courtside at the Trailblazers. Whatever it was, I kind of called any friend that I knew that had any juice. You know, my college roommate, Larry Fitzgerald, two tickets, a signed ball, let's go. And everybody was in. And to see those two and obviously you at the Pac-12 title was really cool. You know, it was the rain, Oregon was playing, they were so stoked. And to watch them embrace that experience was exactly why we created it. And it was a special night. And I got to be honest, I've been doing filmmaking for 7, 8 years or so. And as an artist, you just want to share stuff. You know, same thing when I call games. I just want to share, you know, some of the insights that I get to gain from players, coaches, and preparation. Same thing with this film. You create it and you want to share it because you think it can do some good in the world. And you never really know until you put it out there. And for us, you know, we've sold out humbly every screening we've had around the country, from New York to Chicago to L.A. and everything in between. So now it's competitive time. And I was trying to compete to do that every time. I mean, I want a packed house. I want to see how many people we can influence and impact. And whatever we got to do that, I think our whole team is willing to go there.
Yogi, what are some of the more touching, maybe even heartstring-pulling stories that you've heard from complete strangers who have seen your documentary, Life in a Walk?
Oh, there's a lot, you know. I get the chills literally thinking about it right now. I probably get a few emails, notes, texts, tweets, Instagram messages every day about this. I got one the other day, and it was about this woman who I've never met. She lives somewhere like outside of London, and she said that for the last 10 years, or excuse me, for the last year and a half, and she heard about Life in a Walk. She had been snapping photos of her parents, and her parents have been married for, I want to say, like 55, 56 years. And she's been taking pictures of them when they have been walking in front of her. And she said her favorite moment was it's really cold outside, and her mom has no gloves. And her dad takes off one of his gloves, his left glove, gives it to her to put on her left hand. And then he takes his other hand and grabs her other hand to keep it warm. And she took a picture of it. And she said, you know, on their 57th wedding anniversary, which I think is coming up in like another couple of weeks, she's going to give him this album. And she goes, you know, we've never met, but you've inspired me and realized like the power of walking and the power of loving and the power of sharing people, you know, your stories and what you're about. And that was really cool because it was somebody literally across the pond over in Europe who I probably will never meet. I mean, who knows? And to hear that story was really cool because it's just a little movie for 76 minutes at the end of the day, but hopefully it represents something a lot more than that.
That's an amazing, touching story, Yogi. But what might be the more important question is, what has your dad thought about all of this?
Definitely the more important question is what my mom thought about all this. but yeah, no, they've both been great. I think for my dad, you know, I don't know if you guys, I'm sure you have, you've been around people that have gotten sick before. And for those that don't know, my dad got diagnosed with prostate cancer. And I just didn't deal with it well. And I needed to deal with it. And I needed to ask him questions, which is why we went on that walk. And for him, he didn't tell anyone outside of his immediate family about it. And all of a sudden, the story's in USA Today. You know, it's a feature that's read by 1.2 million people in Men's Health within the first few hours. You know, so his story's out there. And I think he was very hesitant and uncomfortable at first. But then he started coming to a couple of the screenings, and he would talk after the screening. And he kind of became the darling of every screening because the guy, and I hope you guys can come see the film and your audience can, he's become this sage, you know, sagely man full of wisdom. And that's who I've known my whole life. But to watch other people lean into his stories and his anecdotes and his advice, it's really cool. And I think he has realized over the last few months, really since we started screening it in May, that, you know, his story is inspiring people. And I think he's really proud of that, too.
Now, Yogi, of course, there are a lot of things that you do, and this project is one huge one. And, you know, is there ever a time to where you feel like, hey, you know, maybe I should just stop doing this or it's not worth it or, you know, I'm too tired? You know, what motivates you and what keeps you going on?
That's a good question. You know, this film, we would edit it. I edited it all last fall in the season. And you guys know, you prepare for the games, it's hard. But edited it all last fall, and our editor, our first editor is a woman named Sam Young, who's this amazing woman who had never edited a feature, and she killed it. And then we went, and you call it the polishing stage, and our other producer editor is a guy named Ed Borman, and Ed and I would meet every Tuesday and Thursday night, and we would just work, you know, and we worked from about 8:30 p.m. until about 1:30 a.m., and I'd get home around 2, 2:15. And I would be tired because you're preparing for games, you're watching film, and my first priority obviously was college football. But I never felt tired. I almost felt enthused and energized because I was like, man, how cool is it I get to share my dad's story? I get to learn about this guy, get to create a piece of art. How lucky am I? How unique is this of an opportunity in my life? And I never wavered from that. And you know, it's a sad story to a degree because about two-thirds of the way through the edit, our editor, Ed's father, passed away. And I can remember the night he told me. And he said, you know, if it wasn't for this idea, this movie, I probably wouldn't have asked him everything I asked him. And it's terrible that he has left us. You know what? I asked him everything I wanted to. So for me, there was never a point of exhaustion. There was never a point of complaining. There was never a point of, how do I do this? It was always a point of, yeah, I'm gonna. And I've been that way, I think, my whole life, you know, to be honest, whether it was I'm going to go play D1 football and walked on and got lucky and it happened and whatever it's been. And that's cool, but it's all a reflection of my dad and my mom. And I think you see that in the film. And we all are a reflection in some fashion of the way that we were raised. So I was raised to compete and to fight and to push and to, you know, try to go outside the box as often as possible and to take risks. And that's what this film was. So there was never a moment of being tired. You know, I wouldn't even allow myself to think that way, to be honest.
Yogi Roth doing great things with Life in a Walk, lifeinawalk.com, and the Life in a Walk screening in Yakima, Washington, October 20th. Yogi, I've got my ticket. You know I'll be there. It'll be great to see you if I don't see you sooner at Washington State University or the U of Dub. But there were five tickets left via the website today. I looked earlier today, so five tickets left for the Yakima screening October 20th.
Well, I hope that after this thing drops, I'm looking at it right now, there's four left. So I hope by the time you put this online, we sell out. And the beautiful thing is if we do sell those four, which I'm sure we will, we'll bring it back the next day if we can. You know, we'll keep this thing going as long as people ask for it. And that's the beauty of partnering with Gadda Films. You know, if people want it, it's the theatrical on demand. You just ask for it. And that's happened all across the country. And I've just started getting inquiries from Paris and London and Australia. So it's going to be a fun ride, man. And I'm really proud that you guys would even talk about it and bring me on.
Well, the pleasure's ours, Yogi. Thank you so much for your time. Look forward to seeing you October 20th in Yakima, or as you've been told, Yakka Vegas, Washington.
Oh, hey, and it's also the Palm Springs of Washington.
There it is. All right, I've heard a lot of different anecdotes about that little town. So I can't wait to get there. I'm looking forward to getting shown the ropes a little bit.
Hey Yogi, where are you going to be this weekend for college football?
Yeah, I'm pretty stoked, man. I got a really fun one. I'm going to Colorado, and they're playing Nichols State, which nobody really probably thinks or knows a lot about. But the fun
Louisiana.
Part for me is the narrative of Colorado. And this is a team that, in my opinion, 3 years ago was the worst team in the history of college football, in my history with college football, 15 years or so. And to watch them come back the way they are is really impressive to me. And I'm about halfway through studying their game from over the weekend, literally right now, and just to see their resolve on film is fun. So I'm excited for that. And then the next week I get to go to Cal against Washington State. And that rematch, I got to call that one last year, the 60-59 game. So I'm fired up to get back to Berkeley in 2 weeks. So it'll be good.
That's right, Yogi. That was an amazing game. We were both working that. And, wow, if you have a repeat of that one, it'll be a fun one down there in Berkeley.
Yeah, for sure.
Yogi Roth, thanks so much for your time, your insight. Visit lifeinawalk.com. And, hey, if you're not near Yakima or Seattle or any of the other cities Life in a Walk is showing, you can bring it to your city. Yogi, thanks for your time tonight.
Thanks, Yogi.
Thank you. Thanks, guys.
There goes Yogi Roth, man of many hats, doing many, many things all for good in the TV, film, and sports world.
You know, man, we've had two exciting guests on, and each guest, you know, makes me feel like, you know, just when I think that I'm doing all that I can, God, these guys make me feel like I have to go out and do a little bit more. I mean, you talk about, you know, just giving and being open and sharing your life and, you know, all the things to make, you know, to make life better. We couldn't have two better guests on tonight, man. This was just awesome stuff.
So I think you need to make it happen to where the day job gives you the 20th and 21st off, and you miraculously find your way to the Palm Springs of Washington.
Man, that would be fun to get up there and see you guys. I haven't been to Miners in a while, so, you know, I am salivating for a Miner burger. And, yeah, you know, that might be something that I would have to surprise you guys with.
Well, Sean, one thing we have to touch on before we get out of here for show 121 is one of our big-time past guests that is doing amazing things down at USC that I got to meet at a Seattle Seahawks game. You're going to have to help me on his last name, Sean. Never mind. I got it. Jake Olson. He's blind. You've probably seen the story on ESPN or some other network. He was on our show, and he is now going to be a long snapper for the USC Trojans.
You know, isn't that an awesome story? You know, when I saw that on ESPN, I thought, man, oh, my God, that's Jake. You know, I was thinking, you know, it's little Jake, but it's not little. But, you know, this is amazing, you know, that he has the opportunity. And out of all the things that have been going on with USC this year, you know, in a negative tone, and I know Steve Sarkisian is trying to make things right with the program, but man, to have Jake Olson be a long snapper on the team, I mean, that's one of the feel-good stories of the year, you know, if not the decade. You know, I'm looking forward to, you know, seeing Jake put on that chin strap and run out onto the field. And I'm going to try to watch every USC game that I possibly can to see that, Sean Wally, because that's a fantastic story. An overcomer, somebody who has, you know, that just doesn't take, you know, no for an answer. And, you know, it is. It's going to be a fun time.
And if you haven't heard our show with Jake Olson as a guest, you can find it on iTunes. If you're an Apple person with an iTunes account with an iPhone, iPad, or else bbsradio.com/DSX. You can find all of our archives there, including the Jake Olson interview. Just an amazing guy. He's overcome so much, and he's now doing awesome things at USC.
You know, that would make me want to root on the Trojans. And so, you know, I'm saying fight on for Jake Olson. And I know that Yogi, you know, being a quarterback's grad assistant at USC as well, will be pulling for him as well. So, you know, that's some great stuff, Sean Wally.
Big time thank you to our big time guest tonight, Mike Peterson in Spokane, KHQ and SWX TV analyst that I was able to work with on Saturday at Central Washington University, and Yogi Roth, doing great things for the Pac-12 Network, ESPN, and also creating his own films, Life in a Walk, the big one, lifeinawalk.com, Sean.
So what's on slate for us? What do you got going this week? You know, any big games that you're going to be calling, or any big games you're going to be working?
Oh, I have to go back to the day job. You know, 2 weeks of tough work on the East Coast. Staying at the Hyatt on Long Island, you know, the Hyatt, you know, it's kind of a motel. No, it's really not. So good times in Long Island, long days, but hey, back in the Globetrotter grind.
Oh, man, that's some fun stuff. And, you know, you talk about an organization and a franchise that gives to the people. Man, I'm so happy for you getting that, you know, getting things going for a second season for you. Now, for yours truly. Ah, man, with all the games and all the professional teams in the Bay Area, we actually get a weekend off. Go figure, man, both teams on the road. And so we get to do it all again in a couple of weeks when the 49ers come back home. And I believe the Green Bay Packers will be on slate for that one.
Well, Sean, one thing I can tell you, and we haven't really touched on this on our show at all, that the Washington Generals are no longer going to play the Harlem Globetrotters. The team that will now be the opponent of the Harlem Globetrotters is the renowned World All-Stars.
Huh. The World All-Stars.
That is correct. The World All-Stars, coached by yours truly.
So, you know, for all of our listeners who are listening, this is probably how everybody feels about the name of the World All-Stars right now.
Yeah. Crickets?
Yeah. Well, congratulations for being the head coach of the World All-Stars. You are not only do you go down in history as the last head coach of the Washington Generals, you will be the first coach of the World All-Stars. This has to be Wikipedia stuff, man. I mean, I don't know why we can't look on it and see it right now, but pretty soon your name will be Wikified.
Well, hey, as soon as you create it, it'll be there, but it'll take you a while to figure out how to do it, so I'm not worried about that.
You're right, man. Tech savvy is not something that I am accustomed to, but man, yeah, that's some awesome stuff. Congratulations.
Well, if you want to follow us on Twitter, please do so at SS Express, Express spelled XPRESS. And of course, we've got all the shows on iTunes as well as at bbsradio.com/DSX. And this is show 121. So you've got 121 shows now to get caught up on.
You know, they keep getting better and better. I can tell you that. You know, I having Mike Peterson on and, you know, him getting a chance to tell, you know, his story as far as how he has become, you know, a very strong analyst, color analyst, and doing all the things that he has done in life, you know, football, basketball, baseball, And, you know, as you had mentioned, the IFL, I had mentioned the AFL earlier, the IFL, you know, the Spokane Shock, you know, he's done a lot of things. Of course, Yogi Roth, just, you know, just thinking of everything that he's done as well, you know, Life in a Walk and, you know, bringing up the or developing the website Indiegogo and all the special people that he's met along the way and working with the Pac-12 networks. Man, this show has definitely had some great and awesome guests, man.
And what I'm proud of is maybe some of these people aren't known to everybody, but everybody has a story. Everybody's done something great. It just might not be front page of the internet news or on ESPN, but everybody has a story to tell, and a lot of people are doing good, great things.
Yeah, and that's what it's all about. You know, and that's what we try to do here on The Double is bring light to the people who you know, probably don't get as much exposure as they should. And so with that being said, we're going to continue to find those people. We're going to continue to bring those awesome guests. And we thank you, the listeners, for tuning in to On The Double with The Double S Express as we try to bring you the awesome big-time guests week after week. Man, show number 121 in the books. Sean Wally, you will be in Long Island next week, and so we look forward to that. And of course, yours truly, I'll be here in the EG Studios in Elk Grove, California. You've been listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. This is a DSX LLC production. And as we always say, you're not in the game unless you take a shot. And when you take that shot, we hope it hits nothing but the bottom of the net. For Don Newsom, the engineer, Sean Wally up in the Pacific Northwest, and yours truly in Northern California, you've been listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to On the Double, the Double S Express. Join us next Monday for great sports talk and big time guests. On the Double, the Double S Express.
Yeah, you can be the greatest, you can be the best. You can be the King Kong banging on your chest.
You can beat the world, you can beat the war. You can talk the guy, go banging on his door.
You can throw your hands up, you can beat the...